Infrastructure spending and population growth are top of the agenda today as federal, state and territory ministers meet in Canberra. It's the first time they've met since the Reserve Bank began slashing interest rates and calling for more public spending on infrastructure. Treasurer Josh Frydenberg says the federal government's doing its part to create jobs and to stimulate the economy.
We do have the biggest pipeline of infrastructure projects underway in Australia's history, $100 billion over 10 years. And after 50 years of indecision, we're now building a second airport in Sydney, which will create some 28,000 jobs by the time it's fully rolled out and support them. We've got the Melbourne to Brisbane Inland Rail, which is going to create 16,000 jobs. And, of course, building an airport rail link in Melbourne.
And that's the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg. Well, listening very closely is Tim Pallas, the Treasurer of Victoria. Welcome back to Breakfast.
Yeah, good to be with you, Geraldine.
Now, this discussion about infrastructure, everyone seems to want to call for it. The RBA is calling for more government spending on infrastructure because they say with the official cash rate now at an historic low of 0.75%, they just can't go much lower. What is Victoria doing to fast-track projects?
Oh, well, I don't think Victoria could be criticised in any material respect when it comes to the infrastructure spend we've got in place. We've more than tripled the 10-year average of infrastructure spend. We're putting close to $15 billion a year going out in infrastructure. And historically, it's sat around about $4.9 billion. So a massive increase in infrastructure spending. And the point that we're making to the Commonwealth is really not so much that they put money into large infrastructure projects, and we'd welcome that, of course, because Victoria's suffered under the weight of the Commonwealth not giving us our fair share of infrastructure funding for quite some time. But we're actually saying to the Commonwealth, you need to start thinking strategically about where those investments come through, accelerate your capital works program and commitments so that the big projects can be accelerated. But more importantly, start to think about those cohorts of the infrastructure pipeline that can be brought on early. Maintenance, small capital works, no more than $50 million, so that those sections of the industry that aren't already buckling under the weight of massive investment from the state of Victoria and, might I say, also the state of New South Wales, those strategic interventions are much more valuable than wholesale interventions around projects that will take years to get underway.
And you think that not enough of that is happening, don't you?
Well, I think traditionally the Commonwealth has fixated more on the big projects, and you heard the rendition of projects from the Federal Treasurer. Many of those projects have been decades in the making, and we just can't afford that level of time. We're seeing consumption in the marketplace slowing down, and that's having a direct effect upon the states and their GST shares. The size of the GST cake is diminishing, and consequently, the states' budget positions will be under pressure. That being the case, if we can either lose our nerve and contract our economies, and that will only exacerbate the situation that we're currently encountering, or we can continue to make the investment that we've been doing and, aided and supported by the federal government, make those investments that can have a profound impact and improvement around how the economy is operating, but only small capital works where the industry is capable of adjusting quickly.
Yes, we discussed this last week on Breakfast with, say, the WA government has looked closely at spending on, say, school maintenance and claims that this is a very good job creator and it has very good impact. Of course, it's not sort of perceived to be as much of a sexy subject, I don't suppose.
Yeah, I mean, politicians don't get particularly excited about cutting a ribbon over a pothole being filled in, but these are important things. And certainly just last week, I announced over $700 million extra going into our road maintenance approach in Victoria. So that sort of thing, anything that can get activity in local communities, that can provide jobs, that can complement the fact that in Victoria, 1 in 10 jobs in the economy are now in the construction industry, and we're Because we're feeling the pressure of population growth, we have to continue that investment so that we can preserve both the amenity and the functionality of our infrastructure.
Mm, and just to be clear again, so what you'll be saying, will you, if I take it correctly, at today's meeting, is you'll be appealing to the Treasurer that there really are projects that Commonwealth money could be directed into to assist states, because they've called on states to fast-track their spending, but you're saying that there could be right now money spent on smaller projects that the Commonwealth has sort of averted its gaze from a bit?
Oh, that's absolutely the case. And, you know, the federal government make a big play of the fact that over the next decade, they're going to invest over $100 billion in infrastructure. In this year alone, in the state of Victoria, commencing or continuing capital works programs will spend $107 billion. So we're a long way in front of the Commonwealth. And to continue that effort, we need to be strategic. We need to think about the local improvements, the maintenance work, the small capital works, and let's not obsess about big capital works because it takes too long to provide that counter-cyclical shot to the economy.
Mm. You're also going to be talking about population growth in Canberra today. The federal government announced in March it would cut permanent migration by 30,000 people to ease the pressure on capital cities. Victoria is the fastest growing state. Are you happy to keep taking more migrants?
Well, our position on population is we can accommodate appropriate levels of population growth, and we've been certainly carrying more than our fair share. But what we say to the Commonwealth is contributions towards infrastructure assist in being able to accommodate population growth. We basically see we're at the delivery end of the population conundrum in this sense that the Commonwealth determine who comes to the country. We essentially have to accommodate those choices, and Victoria is a very popular location, largely because we've contributed about a third of the nation's economic growth and close to 50% of the full-time jobs growth in the nation over the last 4.5 years. So it's an attractive destination. We want to keep it that way by partnering with the Commonwealth in delivering the infrastructure that a growing community needs.
So you do welcome more migrants?
Yeah.
With
that caveat that, of course, we don't want to compromise the livability of the community. And the best way to do that is to make sure that we're providing for the needs of the growing population. But as a state, we've always been welcoming to migration and will continue to be so.
I heard Ben Knight's report on AM the other day about people getting off trains in Tarnee, one of the faster growing areas outside Victoria, Melbourne, and running for their car. Sabra Lane asked the Treasurer about precisely this on AM this morning. How long does it take, I suppose, to rectify these sorts of problems? You say you want to answer their needs, but this is obviously happening now. People thought it was going to be quite different, and it's certainly not.
Well, certainly it does take a while. If you're talking large infrastructure that will accommodate these things, Melbourne Metro, for example, will increase the carrying capacity of the Western Metropolitan Rail Line by about 27%. 27% more services will be able to provide through Melbourne Metro.
In a year's time or something?
No. Melbourne Metro will probably be complete by about 2027.
Oh, I see.
It does take a very long time.
It's a long time.
On top of that, we're investing $1.8 billion in our Western Arterial Road upgrades, and a lot of work is happening there. But this will require consistent and diligent attention from government. If we simply walk away from the pressures of growth, if we say it's too much, that doesn't solve the problem. All it means is people's problems will be exacerbated without a government that's focused on doing what it can. And if we partner with the Commonwealth, we can do so much more.
What about the effort to encourage / force migrants into regional towns as a way of easing that congestion pressure?
Well, Geraldine, I just don't see that as being a realistic option. I mean, how do we stop people moving around within the country? Do we have papers that people have to produce upon declaration from government officials? Ultimately, the thing that we can do is make alternate destinations attractive both for population growth and employment. And that's exactly what we're doing in Victoria. We have the lowest regional unemployment in the nation. We're progressively moving to 25% of the metropolitan payroll tax level in regional Victoria. So making it attractive to employ. And of course, with our removal of stamp duty payments for the purchasing of homes for first homeowners, we're effectively making it stamp duty free to purchase a house under $600,000 in regional Victoria.
Is it making a difference yet, do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look, for example, at the regional unemployment in Victoria, it's around about 3.7%.
I suppose I was thinking of moving people, of encouraging people who, you know, who might be saying, I've had enough of this congestion. Do they just continue to sit and tight and whinge, or do they move?
Well, we are seeing population growth in regional Victoria, particularly in our provincial towns, doing exceptionally well. So historically, there's tended to be a very substantial chasm between what's happened in our metropolitan cities and our regions. But I think the standout performer is regional Victoria. People are moving to regional Victoria, largely because there are jobs there and there's opportunity for people to purchase cheap housing.
Mm. I mean, one criticism surrounding this discussion of population growth is that it's framed predominantly in terms of economic growth when there are other environmental, community and infrastructure issues at play. This whole notion of drafting a national strategy for population growth, who should it fall to? Are you going to be able to advance that in today's meetings?
Well, we'll certainly indicate to the Commonwealth that we're happy to assist them in the provision of the data that they need. We're happy to work with them. I'm a little sceptical about the constant discussion around we need broader population strategies. For example, when you introduce this issue, you made the point that the Commonwealth had reduced migration levels. In fact, what they've done is they've reduced the cap on migration from about 190,000 to 160,000. But last year, 166,000 people came to the country. So there hasn't been much real action, just the reduction of a notional cap has occurred. So what we say is, yes, we should partner with the Commonwealth. The Commonwealth's best and most substantial intervention here is to identify what role they will play in being able to contribute to the infrastructure that will go with the growing population. If, you know, Victoria continues to receive substantially less than its infrastructure share, yet acquire the greater burden of population growth for the nation, there is going to be a disconnect, and we're going to continue to see people become increasingly frustrated about those things.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us on Breakfast.
Pleasure, Geraldine.
Tim Pallas, who is the Treasurer of Victoria and who will be at these big meetings today for COAG.